from San Francisco, California. This is the Rock and Roll Geek Show.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Tuesday, September 1st, 2020, and it's 3:59 p.m. when I'm recording this episode, and I'm dropping first beer of the day into the Yeti knockoff koozie. I need this bad. Oh, it's been a busy day. Started a new job today, which meant pressure washing, and then had to go to another job. And then I went down to Bass Pro Shops, Disneyland for dudes. Man, I love that store. Even though the shelves were, a lot of stuff were not on the shelves, but I got three dove decoys and some fishing stuff. And I just browsed around for a while. It was a good time. And then I had to go look at three other jobs. So here I am, friends. One more day after today of the dog days of podcasting, and then it's over. You can rejoice, friends. All right. So I got another show review. Who's this from?
Hey, Michael. This is Eric, the Rock and Roll Plea.
Hey, Rock and Roll Plea.
A show review from the past. This one's a little bit different from some of the cool ones you've been playing, in that I actually recorded this back in 2015. I found the file on my computer recently.
Did you send it to me and I did not play it?
I didn't send it to you because okay. I just thought it was kind of bad.
Uh-oh.
But now that you're asking...
We're almost at the end of dog days. They can suck. It doesn't matter. I got a feeling it doesn't suck.
I'm just going to send it even though it is bad. It's possible also that I did send it and you thought it was bad at the time.
No, that's not possible.
Or it got lost in your iTunes crash.
That's a possibility.
I don't remember, really.
That's a possibility.
But the show is from 2015, Philadelphia, the Juliana Hatfield 3.
Ah.
So no offense if you don't want to play it, but...
Oh, by the way, Eric, you're the one who sent me the... I think Eric sent me the Juliana Hatfield Kindle, which I'm going to talk about on Mad at Dad. I have not read it yet because I've not started reading it. I just finished the Walter Lore. I have not started reading it because for some reason, the cover shows up on my Amazon Fire thing here, tablet. But damn book won't open up, and I don't know why. So I got a ticket in with Amazon. I have no idea what I'm doing wrong, so...
Here it is if you do. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. Okay, here we go. Here we go!
Hey, Michael, how you doing? It's Eric, the Rock
and
Roll...
That was two separate files, just so you know.
Plebe here with a show review for the Juliana Hatfield 3. And before I start, I want to take a little sip of this fine Ballast Point habanero Sculpin.
I will join you with a... Fine Tecate, first one of the day. Oh, so good.
Yay. And this one I dedicate to JT1's friend.
Ah. Yes.
This one burns on the way in and the way out, so I would not recommend it to the rock and roll copyright or most other people. But Juliana Hatfield 3, I don't know if you've listened to her much.
Well, you know how much I listen to her now since it's now 2020. As you know, that the thing with Paul Westerberg, what's it called? The I Don't Cares. I think that might have been my number one album. That was my number two album of the year. Right behind Bridget West.
I haven't listened to her for about 15, 20 years or so. I used to have kind of a crush on her back in the day, and I liked the stuff she did with the Blake Babies and the Lemonheads, and she had a solo album that was pretty big in the early 90s, but I haven't really followed her since. But a buddy of mine got some tickets, so we decided to go. And the show was... This past Monday, the 2nd of March, in South Philadelphia at a place called The Boot and Saddle. So, it's a bar. I hadn't never been there before. It's got like a room in the back that's closed off that probably holds about 300 people when it's packed. And she was actually playing a two-night stand there, so I guess that's pretty good. Got there around 7, hit the happy hour, had a nice selection of half-price Philadelphia local breweries. Philadelphia Kenzinger Lager, Victory Pale Ale, Trogues, Dogfish Head, and also had some fried pickles and tater tots.
Love fried pickles. They sell those at the bar. Oh, it's good.
So it was pretty good. The show started around 8:30.
There is not much better than in life, friends, than fried pickles and beer.
An opening band called, I think it was called A King Thing. And I think maybe they were just a local band that were free for the night. I was worried at first. The drummer, he had his bass drum turned vertically next to a cymbal.
Huh.
And he played all the drums with his hands and a mallet. And I thought it was a little goofy at first, but I ended up actually kind of liking them. They were like a jangly pop, kind of with harmonies, and kind of reminded me of Buddy Holly and, I don't know, like a Modest Mouse or something. I don't know, one of these new indie bands, but it was pretty good. I kind of liked, you know, it was fun, and their CDs were $1, and their music is available out there on their website for free. So a King Thing, that's one to look up if someone's interested in that kind of thing. So then after that, the Juliana Hatfield kind of walked through the crowd and hit the stage. She was wearing leopard skin pattern pants and kind of had two-tone hair and black eyeliner. And she reminded me of Chrissy Hynde a little bit. She looked good. She had a Gibson SG, had a tremolo on it. I don't know what year. I don't know if they had tremolos
Bigsby,
on Gibsons.
Bigsby.
Gibson SGs. But she looked good. She looked hot. If the place held around 300 people, there was, you know, 250 there, and the crowd was into it.
And she looked hot.
And I won't go into the set list. I don't even know. I know most of the songs, or you would know them, but
I wouldn't know any of them.
She played all back-to-back, all the songs off of her biggest album from 1993. So, you know, she played all the hits that people that are going to see her would know. And I was up in front, had a good view. She played really well. The band played well, but She seemed a little spacey throughout it. She seemed a little slow.
Maybe she was on something.
That she was under the influence of something. Her guitar playing was
pretty
solid.
She could have been on antidepressants or something, or downers or something like that. But what do I know?
Singing felt a little bit behind the music. I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. But she almost was like she was under the influence of something.
That's okay. You know what they say about girls who are under the influence, right? Okay.
Stopped because one of her pedals wasn't working, and she seemed very confused by that. She spent around 5 minutes trying to figure it out, and her drummer ended up just plugging her directly into her amp. And I don't even know if she noticed, because she played the whole next song hitting the pedals, and then after that she realized that they weren't plugged in, and then they spent another 5 minutes undoing the cords and getting an AC adapter to put the pedals in. So
that
was
pretty
entertaining. I like that kind of stuff during a show.
Yeah.
So she played that whole album, and then she played a few other songs. She did a Minor Threat cover of I Don't Want to Hear It, and I thought that was really cool. I don't know, a lot of people knew that song there, but it was pretty cool to hear. And what else? That's about it. At the end, she kind of just walked through the crowd. She walked right by me, and she just walked down the stairs next to the bar and disappeared. So it was a good show. If you like, you know, power pop kind of rock,
jangly
female
power
vocals
pop
and stuff, maybe kind of like the Muffs or something. Like it's a good show. I think she'll be in your area. She's at some place called the Chapel.
Chapel. That was in 2015. The Butlers played the Chapel. That is a place on Mission Street, which, like every place now, no longer here.
16th in San Francisco. So if you have any interest and you're available, you should
go
down.
To have gone
and
to that.
I actually really think you should be playing bass for her. That was
there
one of the negatives of the show to me. Just the bass player I found annoying. He was playing a Fender Precision that was kind of just above the belly button.
Uh-huh.
And he had a hat on that was about two sizes too small. He
was a hipster douche.
Kind of a, I don't know. Found him a little bit annoying. But Van Pelt played, you know, good. Juliana Hatfield 3, Philadelphia, Boot and Saddle. That's my show review, and I am done.
All right. Thank you, friend. One more day of this Dog Days. I probably have another show review to play. We'll see. Please keep them coming because I need content for the regular Rock and Roll Geek Show. Okay, friends? rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. You can find this show. You know where to find this show. Enough plugs. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you sticking with me through this whole 30 days. If you listen to every one of the 30 days, let me know, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. I find it hard to believe that anybody did, but if you did, I'd really like to know, friends. All right, pardon me, I'm burping up this fine Tecate. How rude of me. Let's play something from the I Don't Cares, Juliana Hatfield and Paul Westerberg. Let's see, what do I want to play? How about... the best song on the album is King of America, but I'm going to play Born for Me.
Decided to me with a hand. It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.